about to tune in to your number one radio station.
This is 106.1 KALA FM. I'm your host of Midweek Musings, Evie Breitbach. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Midweek Musings. I need to get a new intro because every time I hear it, I just kind of hate it. Maybe we'll try something new one of these times, but for now, it's just going to be, hello, everybody, and welcome back to Midweek Musings. See, it just sounds like I want to kill myself. Also, I should note that I'm holding my microphone in my hand this time instead of on my mic stand because, I don't know, I just always end up sitting up really straight when I set it up and then my audio sounds great and then as the episode goes on, I, you know, slouch more and more and then it gets quieter so then I have to, like, boost it in post and maybe this will just save me the trouble later on. So we'll see. If it sounds bad, I'll still be able to fix it, so we're fine. I'm really excited to record this episode today because, well, we're getting down there on season 3, first of all. I think after this episode, there will only be 2 more left, which is insane to think about. Because I remember, just like it was yesterday, recording over winter break and being like, wow, I can't even imagine what it's going to feel like during spring break, let alone after spring break. It's just weird how, you know, time's a construct and all that. Today's episode is probably going to get a little weird. But I was recently looking over the topics that I hadn't talked about yet. I just keep a running list. And I was looking to conglomerate a bunch of them into one episode because I didn't think they each warranted their own 20-minute plus episode. But this one was the first one that I was going to talk about. And then I realized this needs its own episode because this is super intriguing. And the question of today's episode is, are we living in the Matrix? And you might be quick to simply say no, that's impossible. But that's exactly what somebody who was living in the Matrix would say, isn't it? So let's get ready to start questioning reality as you know it, and let's get started. If you've never heard of the Matrix, first of all, how? Second of all, don't worry. As always, there's a little bit of background information before we start. The Matrix is a movie starring Keanu Reeves, released in 1999. The general premise of the movie is that Neo, the main character, is living a pretty mundane but comfortable life until he's contacted by a lady named Trinity, who introduces him to a man named Morpheus, who gives him the choice between learning the truth about reality or staying ignorant. Neo has always felt that something is off, and so he chooses truth and learns that everything he knows is a simulation inside his head. In reality, many years ago, machines took over the world, essentially, and run off of the power of humans, who are all literally plugged into the simulation, which is called the Matrix, where they all live inside of their own heads, blissfully unaware of the post-apocalyptic world around them, which the viewer ends up seeing, and it's pretty disgusting. And this all happens towards the beginning of the movie, so if you haven't seen it, it's not really a spoiler, but it's just the concept that you'll need to know for today's episode. I still would recommend the movie, it's really good. I watched part of it in my science fiction and philosophy class I took as a freshman, and I went right home and finished the rest of the movie because I was like, I need to see it. It was great. It was life-changing, and I think people who don't like it just can't handle the truth. But anyways, before we go too much farther into whether or not the Matrix is real, there's another important question at hand here, and it's about the choice presented to Neo. If Morpheus were to offer you the option to learn the truth and free your mind, or to stay ignorant and have a comfortable life, which would you choose? It's basically the question at the center of this entire movie. And I really, really want to say that I would choose the truth, but I don't know, because it would be hard. I mean, if right now, in real life, somebody was like, do you want to know the truth about how your whole life has been a lie, but you're never going to be the same again? Otherwise, you can just continue your life on its trajectory as it is. I don't know what I would pick because I'm pretty cool with where, you know, the world is right now. So that's a really tough question, but it's one that I invite you to think about throughout this episode. And then by the end, I'm curious if you'll have a different answer. So the question at hand that we're trying to answer is, are we living in a matrix? If not, is it possible that someday we might be? That's kind of what we're getting at. The Matrix movie was the first time that the idea of reality being controlled by computers really took flight. According to Neil deGrasse Tyson, who is an astrophysicist, the odds that we're living in a computer simulation are 50-50, which was shocking to hear, because to me, he's kind of the end-all be-all about everything. He's super smart. He's done a ton of stuff. He's just like a really trustworthy guy, you know? Like if I'm unsure about like a question about the universe, I'm like, let's see what Neil deGrasse Tyson has to say about it. Throughout history, we've always toyed with the idea of reality being an illusion. For one, the Aztecs believed that the world was a painting by the gods. Another good example is the allegory of the cave, which, to sum that up, is basically this like philosophical idea that if there was a civilization living in caves and they were all facing the cave wall but were being shown like shadow puppets every day, they would assume that the reality of the world looked like shadow puppets because that's all they'd ever seen. So people have, you know, contemplated the idea of reality being an illusion or a simulation, and they always want to ask, how can we be sure that what we think is real is real? So a little over 20 years ago, Professor Nick Bostrom published a paper about if we are living in a simulation. And from what I understand, this paper was pretty substantial, and it was pretty important to the discussion of, are we living in a simulation? I watched a bunch of videos, and they all quoted this same paper. And in this paper, Bostrom argues that at least one of the following statements must be true. Number one, the human species is very likely to go extinct before reaching a post-human stage. In other words, we will die out before we create and enter a matrix-like simulation. Number two, any post-human civilization is extremely unlikely to run a significant number of simulations of their evolutionary history. We will become so evolved that we won't be interested in running a simulation such as the Matrix. And then option three, we are almost certainly living in a computer simulation. And if we aren't already, we will someday. And this all kind of hinges on the idea that you wouldn't know if you were living in a computer simulation, since the simulated reality would feel the same as reality. It would be your reality. Your brain would treat it as such. This is, according to Bostrom, called substrate independence, the idea that consciousness can be implemented not just on biological carbon-based substrate, but other computational forms as well. And that's all just really fancy ways of saying that a computer could become your form of reality, which we kind of observe with virtual reality. And I really don't think that our own pitiful forms of virtual reality or anything like a matrix simulation, but it's kind of in that same idea. So theoretical physicist and professor of physics at Arizona State, Lawrence Krauss, said that the fact that the universe started from nothing and just appeared one day in the Big Bang could lead us to believe that that event was simply the beginning of the simulation. He said that it's more likely that the universe did arise from nothing, but a simulation is not out of the question. And I guess that kind of makes sense. Of course, he said that all in much more scientific terms than what I just paraphrased, but it does stand to reason that if we're not given too much reasoning for how the universe formed, maybe it all just was created, and maybe the simulation doesn't go back far enough to explain that. I think that's what he's trying to get at. Now, obviously, it's probably more likely that the universe did just come from the Big Bang, but you can really poke holes in that pretty easily. And also, realistically, how would a simulation like this even happen? In the movie, their brains are literally plugged into a machine, like there's a thing in the back of their head, and the humans are all, I think they're fed like the dead bodies of other humans, like they're melted down and liquidated into nutrients. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on that. So they've made up a way that this would be possible, but from what I understand, an AI program is the architect that created the simulation in the Matrix movie. It's unlikely that a human would be able to create a simulation of this scale, so according to Nick Bostrom, it would have to be created by AI, and very, very advanced AI. A civilization that becomes capable of creating such artificial intelligence would likely have the ability to create a simulation of this magnitude. But the computers needed to run a simulation that big would essentially, because it's going to be a simulation of essentially all of human history, for every human. The computers would need to be like huge, as big as our planet, according to Nick Bostrom. And that's where the Matrix actually does make sense, because the machines are everywhere. They completely cover the surface of the Earth. They've completely taken over. So that really begs the question, should we give up on creating machine superintelligence because of the possibility that they might take over the world? It seems unlikely that they will. We need to design AI that is fundamentally on our side and that shares human values and wants to help us. That is also what Nick Bostrom said. He's a very important figure in the Matrix debate, apparently. But you can see where that idea goes wrong. Because if AI thinks that what we want is to live in a perfect world with minimal suffering, don't you think that they would think that they were helping us if they hooked us up to a machine and started putting a simulation in our heads? Because isn't that really what we want? Like, I mean, honestly, I think we all just want to be happy and, like, live a pretty comfortable life at the core of us. So why wouldn't we want to be in a simulation where there aren't major world problems and where humanity is at its peak point in happiness? I mean, even every day we escape into other, quote, worlds through movies and books, TV shows, social media. Don't even get me started on that. So keep that in mind. Even if we create AI that is only, quote unquote, on our side, they could still interpret that as us wanting to live in a simulation. So maybe they will take over. We'll never know. If you listen to my AI episodes I did back in like February, yeah, that would definitely support my point because it was getting pretty weird. Anyways, all that aside, the greatest evidence we have, like scientific evidence that we might be in a simulation, is called the Griezmann-Zaspin-Kuzmin cutoff, which is quite a lot of words, so I'm just going to be saying the GSK for short. This is a concept in physics about how energy works in the universe. And basically, in theoretical physics, things are not supposed to be limited. And in a computer, they are. So in a computer simulation, it's basically a 3D piece of graph paper. And if you were to zoom in on something really small and keep zooming, you would reach a point where you could only see one pixel. And you simply just cannot go any farther than that. It would be one pixel that was one color. In the real universe, the exact same phenomenon happens, even though people did not used to think it possible. There seems to be a fundamental limit on high energy processes. Scientists studying this process use computer simulations to test this theory, and basically, they're able to get incredibly detailed simulations of the universe down to the atomic level. So there's a point where you can't, like, go any... It seems almost inevitable that eventually this science will be able to be used on the macro scale, and people could run huge simulations of the universe. Right now they can't, but people are saying that eventually that will be possible. According to Donald Hoffman, who's a professor of cognitive sciences at UC Irvine, evolution doesn't favor truth. It favors efficiency. And evolution will favor those who are able to adapt and grow to fit their surroundings the fastest. And then in turn, those will survive with and procreate, and their offspring will be even better suited for their surroundings. That last bit was my words. So they will be more efficient. So it doesn't depend at all on how truthful you interpret your reality. If we were all to be living in a simulation, our ancestors likely interpreted it, quote, efficiently and not truthfully for what it was, a simulation. And all those who maybe did interpret it truthfully or fought against it, the neos of the world, would have died off over time in natural selection, because the people who interpreted it efficiently and didn't see it for what it was, didn't look past any questionable details, they were the ones that were favored and that lived. Now, it's only fair that I represent both sides of this argument and look at why the Matrix likely doesn't exist, since we've already talked about why it might. Theoretical physicists Zohar Ringel and Dmitry Kovarzin, I don't know, conducted a study published in Science Advances. The physicists did not set out to prove that the universe was real, but they were trying to better understand certain anomalies such as the quantum Hall effect. The Hall effect occurs when you pass electricity through a metal. The electrons normally flow through it in a straight line, but if you introduce a magnetic field perpendicular to the metal, the electrons will follow the current until they reach the field. That part's not super important. Essentially, these two were running a quantum Hall effect through Monte Carlo simulations. A number of others have attempted this method before and failed. This attempt was no different, but they did gain an insight. Ringel said, "If you see a phenomena that can't be simulated by a classic computer, that means we can't be a part of the huge classical computer that is simulating while someone steals our energy. What might be more likely is that the universe is an enormous quantum computer rather than a classical one, processing particles rather than ones and zeros." So yeah, that doesn't even necessarily disprove the Matrix. When I started writing that chunk, I was like, oh yeah, scientific evidence. There's real proof that we live in the world and the universe and not a simulation. But no, apparently it might just be a quantum computer instead of a regular computer. I was still questioning, why would somebody or something even want to run a simulation of the world? Because it just seems like a lot of work, right? Like, just put us in prison or something if you don't want the humans around, or just kill us and find your energy somewhere else. Why run a giant simulation of all humanity? According to Rizwan Virk, computer scientist and author of The Simulation Hypothesis, usually when they run simulations, it's to figure out different possible outcomes. We might run a simulation of, say, global nuclear war or climate change. We might run it multiple times to see what scenarios are more likely to lead to destruction. He also went on to say that even if we were in a simulation, our lives still would matter, because when you play a video game, it's no fun if it's easy, and you don't have to make decisions. If you aren't overcoming challenges, it's not interesting. So that's why you would, like, keep living your life. Everybody, keep living your life, and keep living it like it's reality, because if anyone's like, oh, we just live in a simulation, I don't care, that's gonna be upsetting to a lot of people, including me. That'd be bad, so don't do that. So I guess people are using us as test subjects for what might happen in the future. Maybe it's actually just past humans and we're some simulation in, maybe all of our human history is a lie and we've actually been highly advanced for a long, long time, and they're running a simulation of what the future will look like, and we're their future simulation. Okay, so this all brings me to my next point, and it's the one that Morpheus makes in the Matrix movie.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain. This is the world that you know. The world as it was at the end of the 20th century. It exists now only as part of a neural interactive simulation that we call the Matrix. You've been living in a dream world, Neo.
How do we define real? That's the question, right? If the simulation hypothesis is true, it would be untrue to say that the world that we live in is not real. Reality simply would consist of computer-generated reality. We would still be living in our own reality, and our real world would simply be happening inside our heads. Isn't that what happens anyways, though? We experience life inside of our brain. According to Oxford Dictionary, real means true, not merely ostensible, nominal, or apparent. Or it can mean existing or occurring as fact, actual rather than imaginary, ideal, or fictitious. Real, if you are talking about what you can taste, touch, hear, and see, according to Morpheus, and science, of course, is just electrical impulses interpreted by your brain. So, is real what we see and hear and do, or is real something else? Here's some more food for thought from Harry Potter.
I'll be going now, Harry.
Professor, is this all real? Or is it just happening inside my head?
Of course it's happening inside your head, Harry. Why should that mean that it's not real?
That train of thought allows for the Matrix idea to be true, and also applies to our everyday lives. But in the sense of the Matrix, if we were living in one, that would be our real. Despite it not being, quote, real life. The real world would still maybe be outside of the Matrix, but your real world would be what you were seeing in the simulation, because that is everything to you. It would be discounting your experiences to say that that was all fake, right? If somebody told me right now that everything in my life so far had been a part of a simulation, it would be really disheartening to hear that it was all fake. Interpret all of that as reality, because it has been my reality. This all has been my reality. Even if tomorrow I wake up outside of the simulation and that is my new reality, I would still have those memories from what I experienced inside the simulation. I'll get off my soapbox right now, because as of right now, we can't know for sure whether or not we're in the Matrix. Which is funny, because when I sat down to write this episode, I was ready to just say, no, we aren't in a simulation, and call it good. Who knew that there was so much research out there about it? And maybe eventually we'll have proof. Maybe one day I will wake up outside the simulation, and I feel like if it was going to be any day, it would probably be tomorrow. Just based on what I'm talking about right now, they're going to be like, oh, she knows too much, get her out, get her out. But for now, we're just going to have to be content with not knowing. Or maybe we're going to do some more digging to find out, because Neo doesn't just wake up outside the Matrix. He has to fight his way out. But if you want to fight your way out, you can never go back in. If you learn too much, you can never unlearn it. Just some interesting food for thought. Never be quick to deny the Matrix, though, because according to the architect in the Matrix sequel, denial is the most predictable of all human responses. Thank you everybody for listening, and I'll see you next time on Midweek Musings.
Midweek Musings airs at 6:30 every Wednesday night on 106.1 FM in the Quad Cities area, but you can also find it on Spotify, SoundCloud, or wherever you get your podcasts.